And it's our harm, and nothing's going to take it away from us. Boy, it's a wonderful thing to know that to finally realize that through Him we can do all things because of what He did on Calvary. It's just really been good to be with you in these services. And tonight got me a little bit of grace. It was scrolled all over the building. And the Lord tells us in Hebrews, He says, just approach this with boldness. Anytime you need. Now, I came in here with grace because it was by grace that I was saved. It was a gift of God. But every now and then, Brother Craig. But every now and then, I need some more grace. And I just go to the throne with boldness. I'm thank God. And I just get me some grace. Amen. Now, if you think I'm crazy, you should have been here last night. And you'd have known what we're talking about. Folks, we think we need everything. I brought my Bible this morning. I brought my notes to my sermons right up here on the pulpit. I prayed, and what I need is the grace of God. He says if we will just come to His throne in our time of need, we will find what we need. It's not to preach, not to sing better, to give more money to plate. It's not to come to church more often. We are saved by faith that gets us into God's grace, and that's where we stand. And if we stand in battle and we will accept the good things that God's got for us this year, God's a good God. He didn't come to condemn us. He came to save us. And I thought you was going to preach my sermon too. Preached all around it. Turn to 1 Timothy chapter 1. 1 Timothy chapter 1. Boy, I love the Word of God and the way it's been preached last night and today. I love good singing. But boy, when it comes, I just can't. It's like getting food that I need. It's like getting the... I'm so weak. So wretched. But the Word of God tells me who can deliver me from my wretchedness. And His name is Jesus Christ. And folks, preachers, brothers, we ain't got time to preach nothing else except Jesus. You know, Paul told the church that he didn't want to know anything else among them except Jesus and Him crucified. And I think us preachers would be a lot better off if we just leave everything else alone and do what God's called us to do, preach Jesus and Him crucified. If I know that you believe Him, not believe in Him, but believe Him, and confess with your mouth His resurrection, that's enough for me. And if I don't think you do know it, I got to spend the rest of my life preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. For it's by the gospel and the preaching but that God chooses to save some. We can't leave it off in these modern days when we see the modern churches coming in, pussyfooting around with the Bible. We've got to preach it and preach it with authority, not our authority, but the authority in us, the authority but whereby we are given by our Lord and Savior, the King of Kings, Jesus Christ. And if we preach Him and Him crucified in His power, He will draw men to Himself and His church will be edified. We need to leave some things alone that builds ourselves up. Amen. We need to forget about what color the pews are or what's the paint color we want to paint the building. Amen. We need to start thinking about Jesus and Him crucified. One verse says it all. Shouldn't take me long to preach this. I didn't know where I'd fall in order for you today. Because when the way we don't plan to do them. But when you hear sermons like I heard preached last night in the morning, I have a tendency, as you can tell, get off on somebody else's sermon. But preachers, we know that we have one thing in common. We love Jesus and we love to preach Him. And we got to preach the same thing, and that's Jesus. He's our only hope. He's the only way. He's the truth and He's the life, and no other way to the Father except through Him. How could we possibly preach anything else? Because everything else is non-essential. The essential thing is Jesus. You know, I was sitting there thinking, I should have been listening to the messages, but I was thinking a little bit, am I the oldest preacher up here? I think I am, Brother Mike. It ain't long, God's going to call me home. But I got news for you, He may call you before He does me. And besides that, before I get through preaching this message, He may come back and get all of us and take us out of this place. What a glorious day that was. Jesus, I shall see. Amen. You think this year is going to be good? If He comes this year, it'll be the best. There's going to be a better year after this one. When we see our Lord and our Savior. I ask you to stand with me. It's just one verse. And this will honor the reading of God's Word. After all, you do know it is God's Word. This is the inspired by men, but God, Holy Ghost, breathed into these men this writing. One pastor and learned so much by message from my hero, Paul, Pastor Timothy, but that's why He chose to record it in His Word. Us to preach it. That He would be with us. Even if we go over He would go with us there and empower us. So don't make the mistake of reading the Bible as a history book. It's the very power of the Word of God, inspired by His Holy Spirit. And it will go into your heart. If you've got a heart of stone in here this morning, it'll penetrate, make it a heart of flesh. No man can do that. I can't do that. Brother Doug, Brother Jamie, Brother Ellis, we can't do that. But I'm going to tell you, the Word of God will penetrate a stony heart and make it a word of flesh, a heart of flesh. And when it becomes that heart of flesh, contrition can enter in. Humility can enter in. But more importantly, the Word of God can enter in. And the Holy Ghost can empower you with that. Turn the world upside down. We pray for revival in the land. We need revival. Oh, we're living in dark times, but I got news for you. Revival is not going to come except through the church. And you're the church. God be your head. It's been the body being joined together. And folks, we will just come in unity, joined together with Christ being our head. We can do something in this society that's going to hell. But as long as we choose to sit down on our religion, sit down on our formality, sit down on our ceremonies and our planned out things. If we will just stand in Christ, we can wield off the fiery darts of the enemy and put on the whole armor of God. And as I hear preachers, these start coming to me, and I start making notes, and I get all confused, and I get all nervous, But God says, just stand in my power and in my strength and tell them what I tell you to tell them. And then He'll take care of the rest of it. What I want to tell you about Jesus, this verse says it all. Read with me in 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 15. A faithful saying and word. I'm chief. Turn over to 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15. Study to show thyself approved, not unto anybody else, unto God. And then it tells us, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed. And then it tells us, rightly dividing. That takes some effort. Takes some desire. Takes some time. That. You can't teach yourself. Spirit, the great comforter, can teach you to rightly divide out of truth. Now, the reason I skipped over there, go back over to 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 15. We're going to rightly divide this word, and it may take me 5 minutes, it may take me 35. I don't know. I don't really care. Because what is in this verse says it all. Everything. Everything we need to know is right here. And go back up to the previous verse. I just noticed this while ago when I was stuffing my pockets with God's grace. It's there in verse 14. What? And was exceeding abundant of which is in Jesus Christ. He preferences this with the grace of God. Amazing grace. How sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. And Father, I'm here today. And if He can save a wretch like me, He can save anybody. Because I, like Paul, am the chiefest of sinners. And it weren't for grace, I would be hell wide open. And so would you. Our Heavenly Father, we ask You to help us for a few minutes this morning. Just a moment, Lord, just enough for You to do what You need to do through this vessel that doesn't know what He's doing. I come off of my pedestal this morning, and I humble myself before You, and I beg You, Lord, You know the hearts and the minds of everyone on these pews here today. Lord, I beg You, I plead with You. God, I just ask You to speak to the people through this vessel You've chosen for this hour. Using the power of the Holy Spirit in me and Your word, which Your Spirit breathed, in Jesus' name I pray. You may be seated. Now I want you to notice right off in this verse, this is a faithful saying. A faithful saying. This is something we can put some stock in. Amen? And I like the way he preferenced it up there with the grace of God. Exceeding and abundant with faith and love. Where? In Christ. Grace. A Baptist. A Baptist. We're Baptist. That means a whole lot. I don't guess. But the word means to be immersed. The word Baptist means to be immersed. And we say that you can't go and join our churches unless you're baptized by immersion. That's an ordinance that we carry. But the word Baptist actually means to be immersed into Jesus Christ and becoming one with Jesus Christ and Jesus Christ becoming one with you. You abiding in Him, Him abiding in you. And if you abide in Him and He abides in you, you will bring forth much fruit. But without being in Jesus, your fruit is going to stink. You can do nothing. Nothing. Now, do you believe that? Because this is a saying very faithful. This is a saying that you can put some stock in. And I want to just take this verse and divide it and in this verse, and we're going to let God speak to these words. Look at the first one here. The first word is sinners. You see it down there? That word is down there close to the end of sinners. Now just keep your mind on sinners for just a minute. I want to remind you that we were all once sinners and we were all dead in our sins and our trespasses. Every one of us has that in common. So before you start lifting yourself up very high, you need to think about how low you were. When you were an enemy with God, God chose to save you. You didn't choose to save yourself. You were a sinner. God sent His only begotten Son because He loved sinners so much that He sent Jesus to the cross. And Jesus died so that sinners who were going to experience eternal death could experience. I want you to understand something today, that even though we all are failures in Christ, we are successful through our own righteousness because they're like filthy rags. But through the righteousness of Christ, we have the righteousness of God because we've been immersed into Him. You can read all about that in Romans chapter 4, chapter 5, and chapter 6. We're dead in our and trespasses, but now that we've been born again, we've been crucified in His crucifixion, we've been resurrected in His resurrection, therefore if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature, old things have passed away, behold, that means behold, behold, look at me, you look at my life and you can see that I'm a new creature. Why? Not because of me, but because of the one in me, and His name is Jesus Christ. I was a sinner. Paul said he's a sinner. He said he was the chiefest sinner. I think this is a very important word. Now, does sin go away once we're saved? No, sin doesn't go away, but I got news for you. I believe it was Brother Leon that preached it. We just need to say sin from us. We need to submit to God and draw near to Him and resist the devil. There's too many people trying to resist the devil without submitting to God and getting close to God. But the Bible, if we'll do that, we can say, get away from me, devil, and he'll get away from me. The devil don't have any authority over you. The devil's a whipped puppy. He's been sentenced to eternity in hell. We have the victory in Jesus Christ. And why is that? Because we've been baptized into Him. We are part of Him. We're no longer sinners. Oh, I guess we're sinners saved by grace. Amen. I still battle it every day. I am in this warfare. And I got to put on this battle, this armor, and make sure that I'm covered from head to toe. And I can stand, therefore, and defeat Satan. Don't hang your head low, Christian. Hang your head up high and look above. Don't set your affections down here. If you're sick, don't look at it. If you're rich, don't pay no attention to it. If you're broke, just go on and do the best you can. But I'm going to tell you where you need to focus your attention is up there, not down here, whether it's a blessing or a cursing. Because Jesus Christ is our only hope for a sinner. The next word I want to pull out of here as we rightly divide this verse is the word save. Woo! Ah, I was a sinner. I was dead in my sins and my trespasses. But God saved me, folks. I'm saved. I'm redeemed. I hold a clear title and nothing can take it away from me. I got it nailed down. I can't hold on to it. But I know who one whose grip is so tight that He'll never turn loose of me if I can walk in His Spirit and not in my flesh. For therefore there is no more condemnation who walk in Christ Jesus and not in their flesh. Praise the Lord. I'm a sinner saved by the grace of God. Reminded of John chapter 3 verse 17 again. And so often we forget. And many times I think we're guilty of preaching and leading people to believe of a mean God who's sitting up there just waiting for us to mess up and cast us into hell. But no, friend, I want to remind you that God sent Himself. He sent Himself. And Jesus was God. He is the Word. He was God. He was with God. Everything that was made by Him and for Him. He is the beginning. He is the end. Jesus is the head of all things, the church. He has preeminence in everything. And God chose to send Him to save sinners. I'm going to tell you, my friend, I had no hope till God saved me. I don't know about you. You may have had it made. No, I got news for you. You just thought you had it made. Without Jesus, you had hell made. But with Jesus, you got heaven made. We need to rejoice because God chose to save sinners. Now, what's this next word? Jesus Christ. Jesus. Let's go up those two words. We saw the word sinner in this verse, and we know that we were all lost in our sin. We were dead in our trespasses. We had no hope. But God chose to save us, and because He sent Jesus, His only begotten Son, to die on the cross of Calvary, the only one who was worthy to die there, that would provide a sacrifice that would take care of all of our sins, God sent Jesus Christ, Christ Jesus, to save sinners. Now, that just happens to be the gospel. It don't matter how good we do, how bad. What matters is how we believe in the one who did all things good, and His name is Jesus Christ. If I can just trust Him and commit my way to Him, He promises me over there in Psalms that He'll bring all things to pass. He tells me in Matthew that if I will seek Him first and His kingdom and His righteousness, that He'll add all those things He talked about in those previous verses to me. He says to me, don't worry about things. He says, if I can take care of the sparrow, I can take care of you. After all, He created all things for His pleasure. And Jesus is the only one worthy to be worshipped because of that. We are created and for His pleasure. God's going to take care of us because of Christ Jesus. We were a sinner, but God saved us by sending Christ Jesus. Notice the next words I want to put in this verse and rightly divide into the world. Into the world. We know what 1 John teaches us and James teaches us about this world, don't it? It says don't even be friends of it. Don't even love the things of it. He says if you do, you will be considered at enmity with Him. A lot of folks says enemy. But that means separation, E-N-M-I-T-Y. Now, you know, we were His enemies when He saved us. That ain't going to make much difference. But we need to understand that sinning caused separation. It causes a break in fellowship. I don't know about you, but I want a fellowship with my Lord. I want Him to love me. He stands at my door and He knocks and He says, if I'll get up and just open the door, He says, I'll come in and I'll sup. That means fellowship. Oh, He desires to fellowship with us. After all, we are His children. And He wants us to enjoy Him. He says, I come that your joy will be full. Am I correct, preachers? And that your joy will remain. It's important, Christians, for joy. What other people on this whole earth has a reason to have joy more than the Christian? More than the one who has already had his enemy defeated and has victory? More than the one who has a place prepared by Jesus Himself? We're the only ones who have the promise that He's coming back for us and to receive us unto Himself so that we can be Him with Him forever and forever. Now, I happen to know how much Brother Craig Valiance loves his dad. Another man that loves his dad more than Craig. He lost him. So I just want to remind you, Brother Craig, you're going to go to Jesus first. You're going to go to Jesus. You're going to see your dad, and he's going to see you, and you're going to rejoice with him. But I want to tell you, my friend, there's no greater friend than I can't wait to see him. The mystery that I'm preaching to you right now is a mystery of the gospel. I see things very dimly, but if I was 55, I'd jump over the... I'm going to tell you, I look forward to the day when I see him face to face. And all things become clear. What things? The things that I don't see clearly, like sinners saved because of Christ. I don't understand how Jesus could come as God and be flesh and die on a cross. I don't understand how He could be resurrected on the third day. I don't understand ascended into heaven. I don't understand a wretched man like me receiving gift, the gift of God's grace. But I did. By grace I'm saved. Because of my faith I've entered in. And it's that grace that I'm going to see. It's got the grace to hold on to me enough. Everlasting to everlasting, as far as east is from the west. It's amazing, God's grace. Now you got to have faith. I guess we're going to have to buy them some Kleenex. But if we just stand on the grace of God, oh, how sweet. How sweet that our Heavenly Father would love us so much that He would give us His grace and give us the eternal hope. Now, folks, that's just the gospel, that the sinners were saved by Jesus Christ on the cross of Calvary. But I also want you to pay attention that this is worthy of all acceptation. Regardless of what your philosophy is or how long your degree may be from seminary. No matter what your educational level is, no matter how intelligent you are, this one verse is worthy of you pushing all those human efforts aside and just accept it, because it'll get you into eternity with our Heavenly Father. Nothing else will. Oh, I love education. I wish I had more of it too, brother. I'd put some of these names right. If I had some more education, I could learn where to put a comma and a period and maybe have a little better dictation. But I want to tell you, there's no greater power in me than the power of Jesus Christ. And He's here today. I can make an assumption here today because of the type of meeting this is, the time of day it is, snow on the ground, and I can make an assumption that you're all saved, but I'm going to tell you, you need more of God's grace to make it. And if you'll do what Hebrews says, approach His throne with boldness in your time of need, and you'll find mercy. And you'll find grace. God sent His Son to save sinners through His Son Jesus Christ. What a word that's worthy of all acceptation. Would you stand with me? Father,